In my Lenten series, we have looked at your finances and God's provisions. We've looked at your guilt and God's love. Today, we want to look at your future, God's faithfulness. I have noticed a large number of fears that people have. I get depressed thinking of all the phobias that people have. I did a little research to uncover some technical terms for many of these fears that people are experiencing today. Let me share a few that you may know well and a few that you do not know so well. There is, first of all, agoraphobia. And you know what that is. It's the fear of open spaces, agoraphobia. But then there is also engoraphobia, which sounds more like the fear of soft, fuzzy sweaters. Agoraphobia and engoraphobia, don't confuse the two. Then there is claustrophobia, you know what that is, the fear of being stuck in an elevator. But there's also another, catastrophobia, which is the fear of being stuck in St. John's Elevet for an hour. We need to be aware. Then there's also zoophobia. I am not making these up. Zoophobia is the fear of animals. But did you know that there's also a barneyphobia? That's the fear of purple animals. Parents of preschoolers often recognize that one. Today we want to look at the number one fear in our society. So please take out your sermon notes that have been prepared for you. The number one fear is the fear of the future. Why is it we're afraid of the future? One reason is that we just do not know what it's going to bring us. It's the unknown. Even our best forecast of the future is only an educated guess. Nobody really knows what's going to happen in the future. Mankind can transplant livers. We can program computers. We can send men to the moon. You may have an incredible IQ. You may have a PhD or an LSD and everything, but you do not know what's going to happen in the future. No matter how smart you are, it's only an educated guess. And plus all of that, the future is also uncontrollable. Oh, we try. We try to control the future through our worry and through sleepless nights and through our fears, but it doesn't work. So what does the Bible say about your future? Well, three facts I share with you this morning about your future. Number one in your notes, the first fact about your future from the Bible, God knows everything that's going to happen. And God knows everything. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. See, in other words, God can see it all. Now, this is hard to imagine. See, God is not limited. In your notes, God is not limited by time. God can be in the past, in the present, and in the future, all at the same time. So God can see it all at once. For example, if I were to take you up in a blimp and you would look down at a parade, you could see the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, and the end of the parade all at once. But the person sitting on the side of the street could only see what's in front of them at that particular moment. See, likewise, from God's perspective, God can see it all. There is nothing hidden from God. He knows everything that's going to happen to you because God is in the future as well as in the past and in the present. So in your notes, that means that God is never surprised by anything. God never goes, oh, really? He never says, I never expected that to happen. God never says, oops. See, God always knows what's going to happen. Look at Psalm 139, verse 16. Please read that verse with me together out loud. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them even began. Circle that word before. This is one of the reasons in your notes why abortion is wrong. See, God gives all life. He knows your days allotted before any of them even began. And abortion short circuits God's plan for a life. All of your days were allotted when you were in your mother's womb. Number two in your notes, God also has a plan for my future. God not only knows my future, but God has a plan for your and my future. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Circle those words, the plans and prosper and hope and a future. Well, this is telling us what? That God has done a whole lot more thinking about your future. In fact, God has done more about thinking about your future than you have. God has put a lot more thought about your future than you have, because God has plans. These plans are good plans that will give you hope. They are plans that will give you a future, not plans to harm you, but plans to bless you. But you ask, can I miss God's plan for my life? And of course you can. In your notes, many people miss God's plan for their lives. And you can miss God's plan through just simple apathy, or through arrogance, or through plain ignorance. You can miss it through flat-out rebellion. So lots of ways you can miss God's plan. Many people just miss God's plan just for their lives. But God does have good plans. Number three in your notes, there's a third thing the Bible says about my future. And that's God will be with me every step of the way. In my future, God will be with me every step of the way. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, none of us knows what's going to happen during the rest of 2019. But I can tell you this for sure, in your notes, no matter what happens in the future, you will not be alone. You're not going through it alone. God says, I've been with you, I'm with you now, and I'm going to be with you in the future. So in your notes, that fact itself is called God's faithfulness. Look at Psalm 34, verse 4. Please read it with me together out loud. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Circle the word, the Lord. It says he sought the Lord. Not therapy or a technique or a support group, but he sought the Lord. And it was the Lord who delivered me from all my fears. Now get this if you get nothing else today. This whole sermon is summarized. For every fear that you have, for every fear that you have in your notes, there's the attribute of God. There's something about God's character, God's personality, God's nature that will correspond for every fear that you have. So if you want to get over all your fears, the secret is this in your notes. The answer to each of your fears, seek God. Seek the Lord. And once you understand what God is really like, then you don't have anything to be afraid of. As we look today at the fear of the future, of course, the corresponding attribute of God is God's faithfulness. Look at 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless, he, meaning God, will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Faithfulness means that God cannot lie. God cannot break a promise. If someone would ask you, is there anything that God cannot do? Here's your answer. And you know one thing God cannot do. God cannot be unfaithful. It's God's very nature to be faithful. Now there are over 7,000 promises from God in the Bible. 7,000 promises, they're like blank checks from God to you. They're waiting to be filled out for you to take advantage of. And today we're going to look at all 7,000 promises. Just checking to see if you're listening. But we will look at four promises. Four guarantees from God on the back of your notes. Number one, I can depend on God to guide me when confused. See, one of the problems about the future is you do not know what you're going through. What am I supposed to do? Just how will I cope? How am I supposed to act? What will the problems be? And you can count on the fact that you will have new challenges in the future. That means I will have to make new decisions. I can be confused. Life is complex. Do you agree? Life is complex. You have a loved one who is on life support. You wonder what is going on. There are no easy answers. Life is complex. Yet God says to depend on Him to guide you when you're confused. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Please read those verses with me together out loud. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. See, the real issue is this. Who is going to be your source of advice in your decisions? What is your source of authority? Who are you going to look to? You could look to your friends, but they could be just as wrong as you are. You could look for some magazine and see what everybody else thinks. You could call some psychic hotline. I could search the latest horoscope. I could open a fortune cookie. But God says there's only one 100% reliable source. In your notes, that's God. God is the only 100% reliable source to guide you when you are confused. See, God is there already, so you trust in the Lord. And how do you reach God? How do you get guidance from God? In your notes, number one, you read the Bible. You simply let God talk to you by reading His Word. And number two, you pray. You talk with God. You daily develop a line of communication with God. God says, I will guide you when you are confused. So number one, I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. But number two, a second guarantee, I can depend on God also to assist me when tempted. Second promise, I can depend on God to assist me when I am tempted. And what does that mean? Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it, for He has promised this. See, there are a lot of things that are going to change in your future. But let me tell you, one thing will never change. In your notes, you will be tempted. You're going to have the same old temptations, same weaknesses, yes, the same problems. And Satan knows your hot buttons. He knows your every weakness. He will keep pushing your buttons. So that does not mean that you have to give in to him. Now, some of you are thinking, what if I stumble? What if I fall flat on my face? What if I go into that habit again? What if I crack up? Note this, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to God, the more you will be tempted. Now, to be tempted by Satan does not mean you are sinning. That's key to remember. In your notes, it's not a sin just to be tempted. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every point, just as we are. Yet Jesus did not sin. It's only a sin when you give in to those temptations. What we need in life, when we are confused, then is God's perspective. Only God has the big picture. See, God already knows what your future holds for you. God has the big picture. And through His Word, the Bible, God wants you also to see that big picture. So read the Bible. Pray to God. Number one, I can depend on God to guide me when confused. I can depend on God to assist me when tempted. Then number three in your notes, God's third guarantee for my future. I can depend on God to support me when overwhelmed. I can depend on God to support me when overwhelmed. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the changes in our world? Do you realize how quickly things are changing? New technologies are happening every day. Medical procedures are changing daily. Things that we took for granted today would not even be around 10 years ago. Personally, you don't know the problems you are going to face, even tomorrow, much less than the weeks ahead. And with the size of our church during this next year, some of us are going to get cancer. Some of us will lose a loved one. Some of us will lose a job. Some of us are going to have kids that will go the wrong way. So what do you do when you are overwhelmed? Well, look at Isaiah 43, verse 2 to 3. When you go through deep waters, God says, and great troubles, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, that is stress and pressure, you will not be burned up. For I am the Lord your God. God is saying that he is faithful. In your notes, God will never put more on you than he puts in you to bear. God will never let more on you than he puts in you to bear. And in your notes, there are 365 fear nots. 365 fear nots in the Bible. You know, that's one fear not for every single day of the year. Do you get the message? Get it? Say, got it. You will not need to be afraid. This next point is important. God promises strength that I need when I need it. Strength I need will come from God when I need it and not before. It's one day at a time. So trust God. He is faithful. And then number four, God's fourth guarantee is that I can depend on God to defend me when offended. When life seems unfair, I can depend on God to defend me. Look at Romans 12, verse 19. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. So in your notes, life just doesn't always seem fair. In fact, unfairness is increasing. Criminals seem to go scot-free after three-year trials. Innocent people do suffer. Dishonest people seem to prosper. Young people die. Life just doesn't seem fair. But you need to remember, this earth is not heaven. Earth is an imperfect earth. This earth is marred by sin. Heaven is heaven where everything is fair. People will take advantage of you and cheat you here on this earth. But remember this in your notes. God knows your every hurt. Yeah, he knows your every hurt. So Paul says, don't waste the moment seeking revenge. Don't try to right all the wrongs where you have been hurt. God knows your every hurt. And Jesus suffered for you on the cross. He died on the cross in your place so that you will have that promise of eternal life in heaven. And then one day, God will reward those who trust in Jesus. And he will punish those who do evil. God knows your every hurt. So in conclusion, in response to those four promises, you can depend on God to guide you when confused, to assist you when tempted, support you when overwhelmed, to defend you when you are offended. Then I now ask you, what is it? What is it that you're afraid of? What in the world is there to be afraid of? Look at Philippians 4, verse 13. Please read it with me together out loud. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. So number one, just admit you are afraid. Number two, you ask Jesus to give you his power. And number three, you step out in faith. He will give you strength one day at a time. Amen.